talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It's a Getaway Friday, Friday, August the 3rd, the first Friday in August of 2018. You're tuned into the Exchange Club. Charlie Evers and Marge Hazlett join me for the run today. And we, in the next 45 minutes, don't even have the time to talk about all the stuff we need to talk about.
That's right. Do you realize what will happen next month on the same day?
September 3rd?
It'll be the first Friday.
It'll be the first Friday of September.
Of
you're
August.
Exactly right.
Or September,
Is that Memorial or Labor Day?
Labor Day is...
It won't be the first Friday. September 3rd won't be the
Labor
first
Day's
Friday.
Labor Day's on a Monday, isn't it?
Yeah, but the 3rd of September won't be on a Friday.
No.
Right. It'll be a different day.
It'll be
of the
just
week.
The, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we can check that out. Let's check that.
Boy, this is a big...
Labor Day. It will be... I was right. It will be Labor Day.
Yeah.
September 3rd is Labor Day. So it'll be a Monday.
Labor Day is every day for us.
Yes.
Yeah, today is late. And I'll tell you, we've got it to talk about today. But I do want to remind everybody again, the special tonight, August the 3rd, from the MCI prison. First time this has ever been done, so take a listen. I think it might change some opinions, and if it doesn't, at least it will enlighten you to what's going on at the Marion Correctional Institute. Now, see,
institute
is a college.
A college,
okay.
Yeah.
But an institution is a place where you put people in.
Yeah.
See, people make that mistake all the time.
So it's an institution.
Right, but they do learn in there. There's a choir.
But it's not an institute. That's been a pet peeve of mine for years. No kidding.
Boy, I tell you, we're getting hung up all over the place.
Every time I see that Marion Correctional Institute.
Do they call it that?
It's institution.
Yeah, but don't they call it institute?
I don't know who calls it that, but it's wrong.
Okay. You know, everybody who's listening out there, I apologize. Whatever you want me to... MCI.
Yeah.
Okay.
Marion Correctional Institution.
Institution. MCI. That's where the special emanated from.
I don't know why, but that just has been a pet peeve of mine ever since it opened up.
And that will air today. August the 3rd, 6:10, it will repeat the first time, and then it will repeat again if you can't catch it at 6:10, at 9:10 tonight, and then more times thereafter, but no scheduled times. So, you know, I hope you learn from this particular special, because it is interesting what everybody had to say. Now, beyond that, let's get on to really local, my interview yesterday with Jim Jordan.
Boy, you sure got him riled. Man, I thought he was going to bite your ear off.
We had a little bit of a contretemps yesterday.
Woo!
But I didn't think I was being rude to the man. Did you?
I don't know.
He did get frustrated.
Yeah, he sure did.
I didn't feel frustrated.
I thought he hung up on you there.
So did I. At the one point, I thought he had enough. He just didn't want any more. But it big story this week, because NBC the night before broke news that... Helixson, who we all know what scandal Jim Jordan's involved with right now, that did he know or did he not know that his students at Ohio State on the wrestling team were being molested, I guess is the proper term, by this doctor. The doctor's dead. But on Wednesday night, NBC broke the news that when this news broke, that the former wrestling coach who was over Jim Jordan, Helixson, had messaged these people who were accusing Jordan of this and asked them to recant their testimony, and said he was under pressure from Jordan to get the testimony recanted. Now, this was the only interview Jim Jordan did yesterday, and probably because it was pre-scheduled. But I asked Jim about this, and here's what Jim had to say yesterday about that particular claim our representative, Jim Jordan.
Representative Jordan, yesterday NBC News reported that former retired Ohio State wrestling coach Russ Hellickson reached out to two ex-teammates and asked them to support their former assistant coach, Representative Jim Jordan, and went on to say that he was under pressure from Jordan to get statements of support from members of the team. Now, you have denied any wrongdoing here, knowing that any of this happened, and we accept that. But did you pressure Coach Hellickson to get these statements?
No. Scott, all kinds of coaches, all the guys I coach with have said the same thing I've said. All kinds of wrestlers have said the same thing I've said. You know why they said that? Because it's the truth. So this story yesterday were two individuals who wrestled for Ohio State about 30 years ago, 20-some years ago. One of them has got a criminal record. The other one spent 18 months in prison for fraud, and they're saying the things they're saying. No, everybody sees through this story. Nobody believes it, and nobody believes it because, like I said, all kinds of coaches who coached with me, six different coaches who coached the same time I did, and all kinds of wrestlers have come forward and said the exact same thing I've said, and the reason they've said that is because it's the truth.
I accept that, but the question was, did you put pressure on Coach Hellickson to get statements from them? Because that's what he said.
No, that's not what Coach Hellickson said. That's what the guy who spent 18 months in prison said. And the answer is, no, I did not.
The report said Hellickson's appeal to help Jordan came from the congressman repeatedly. That's not true. You did not ask Coach Hellickson to do any of that.
Coach Hellickson is one of the coaches that I coach with who said the same thing I did, that no one reported any type of abuse because if they had, we'd have dealt with it. No one did. So, yeah, of course I've talked to Coach Hellickson, but you asked, did anyone pressure anyone? Of course not.
No, you didn't pressure him to get these statements from these players.
Of course not.
Okay.
But I did talk to all kinds of wrestlers and say, hey, can you tell the truth?
Representative Jim Jordan on this show yesterday. Well, Charlie, did you learn? What was his answer there? Because I took three passes at it.
Well, naturally, he wasn't going to say, yes, I pressured that man.
But what did he say?
Well, now, he referred to somebody who had spent 18... excuse me, months in prison.
Yes, he did.
Now, let's go back to your story from MCI. Does that make that man a permanent criminal?
Well, clearly, I think he was doing that to defame them, to say they're
make
on the lark type of people, which he didn't. That's what I said, did you pressure Coach Hellickson? And he went on talking about how these two people had been in prison and so on and so forth. That wasn't the question I had asked him. I asked him if he pressured Hellickson, and then he said, no, I didn't. And I said, so you didn't? And he said, well, I've talked to him, and yes, I've told people to tell the truth. So did he tell people to recant their story or not?
Why did that original wrestling coach kill himself?
It wasn't the coach. It was the doctor.
Oh, the doctor, yes.
Yeah. I don't
Why
know.
Did he... commit suicide.
Well, I think he
probably didn't leave a note.
No, he didn't leave a note. But what I don't understand is why, if Representative Jordan truly is innocent of these crimes, why would you ask the players to recant what they had said?
Maybe he didn't ask them.
Well, he said he did.
Oh, did he?
He said, I've told people to tell the truth.
Oh, okay. Oh, to tell the truth,
yeah.
Yes.
When his truth is that it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Now, again, I do want to say this. Representative Jordan did not have to come on the program. He did not have to stay as long as he did. But I thank him for doing that because it was helpful.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And some of these guys, they're probably passing along. Whatever you do, don't agree to be on the air with Scott Spears. He'll ask you some very embarrassing questions.
But you thought that was embarrassing?
Well, not really embarrassing, but antagonistic, maybe.
Well, here's my feeling. I am not out to get anybody, but I also don't want to do a cream puff interview.
Well, I sure. Mean, that's, you know, that's what makes it more interesting when you have interviews like that yesterday. Yeah.
Well, just to wrap it up, because I thought the other interesting point where maybe Representative Jordan and I had a contretemps was about the Mueller investigation. And this is a clip where we talked about the Mueller investigation yesterday. Take a listen.
When the investigation is over, either way, which we don't know the answer yet, are you willing to accept it no matter what the report says, what the Mueller report will come out with?
No, I'm willing to wait till the report comes out and then I'm going to read it and see what they say and see what the evidence and see who they interview and how it's done. Any person with a brain would take that answer. You're saying, oh, no matter what it is, will you accept it?
Right, but
not.
But I mean,
what kind of person would do that?
Right, but you've already pretty well said you don't believe there was collusion. So if it said collusion...
I've said there's no evidence of it. And,
oh, okay.
And you can't point to any either.
Okay. Right. So I guess...
But we can point to evidence of the Clinton campaign working with the Russians. But we can't point to any evidence of the Brooke Trump campaign working with Russia. And you can twist it as much as you want, but that's facts.
Well, I don't think I'm twisting. I'm asking questions.
No, you're asking hypotheticals.
Okay. Well, I do appreciate the time, and I do hope you are able to come on more often with us, because I think we have to hear all points of view on this thing, because I think when we get to the final analysis, there will be a report, and people will read it, and we have had, 180 indictments now?
I'm not giving a point of view, Scott. I'm giving the truth. On every single thing I've talked about, the truth. You're trying to say on this Russian thing that, oh, no, I'm giving you the truth. There's been no bit of evidence that shows any type of coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia to date.
To date. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, but we don't know what will happen in the future. I mean, agree or disagree?
Say it again.
I say, to this point. I mean, isn't that where we are? Yes, there has been no evidence.
Right. 15 months, not one bit of evidence.
Right, but didn't Watergate go on longer than 15 months, and at the end, the president resigned?
I don't think Watergate went. I have to go back and look. I don't think it went this long.
Just for the record, Watergate went longer.
Did it?
Yes. So we did check the facts on that afterward. This is going on 15 months, and Watergate went on 25 months.
That's a long time.
Now, I'm not saying anything, but if you are the representative who wants to be Speaker of the House, and you have questioned Attorney General Rosenstein, wouldn't you want to know that Watergate went on longer than the current investigation?
No.
No? Yeah, you're right. Let's give him... I mean,
he was just a kid when Watergate came about.
That's before me.
Yeah, that's right.
But I knew.
Yeah, I remember. Oh, my goodness.
But here's my question. Doesn't that speak to exactly what the truth is? Is that no matter what the investigation said, there's going to be people who are not going to believe it. No, it could say anything.
That's right.
It could be absolutely the truth. And I guess I don't understand why he was such on the defensive yesterday about that. He's not under investigation.
Well, yeah. I don't know.
But you thought it was adversarial.
It's kind of, yeah. I mean, you really put him to task.
Well, I'll never get a Christmas card from him.
But really, when you're a politician, you've got to be able to answer questions no matter how... they're asked of you or what they ask you, and most politicians know how to get around and you know, sidetrack some personal questions.
How do you think he did?
He did pretty good that way, and in not, I guess, not sidetracking too much. But or did he? I don't.
Well, here's the thing. Let's get back before we move away from this. Let's get back to the original point. Now that we do know that Helixson, we don't think he was under pressure from Jordan, or at least that's what the representative said, and we have to take him at his word, but do you think Jim Jordan knew what was going on with those kids?
I don't know. I have no idea whether he knew or not. I have no opinion that way. There sure was a lot going on, apparently.
Well, you know what? I wish more people had that philosophy that I have no opinion until we know for sure. Because when it comes to other investigations, everybody has an opinion.
Oh, yes.
Let's shut it down. Let's do... No, we need to get to the end, and then we'll know what was done. But I do you think he'd make a good Speaker of the House?
Well, that's another thing that he's cautious of, because he's standing in line, perhaps... to get that job. Right. And protecting himself from any dire circumstances that could affect that appointment.
Well, you got to give him credit to the point that he did come on.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I haven't heard from him since, but he did come on, and I appreciate that. But I don't understand the point of having these politicians on and then just asking them, well, what's the weather like? What have you done?
Right.
What have you done lately?
That's right.
What's the point of that?
Yeah, there would be no point.
No point. You're killing time.
Yeah.
So we thank Representative Jordan, and I guess people will read into it what they want to read. Did he know about the thing at the school? I don't know. He says no. We have to take him at that. Will he accept the Mueller probe? I guess we'll know when it's done.
Have they investigated any of the conduct of this doctor that committed suicide? Did they look into his background to see if he had been a molester?
I think there was proof. Well,
all the wrestlers.
Apparently none of the coaching staff. Which,
strange, isn't it?
Well, see, that's the inference, again, that people don't understand, is how could the coaches not know?
How scuttlebutt is one of the easiest things to occur.
So you are more inclined to believe he knew?
I would think so.
Well, see, earlier
how
on
could
you
he
said,
avoid?
Which earlier on you said you had no opinion about it. Well, now you think he did know.
Well, no, I don't know.
How could he avoid scuttlebutt is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because it does go on.
Yeah. Not that he knew anything, but how could he, theoretically or whatever, how could he not find out or know about it?
Well, I tried to get to that yesterday, and we just went around the barn a few times.
But that and 5 cents won't get you anything.
It won't, but people have to remember, though, what he did was not illegal. Jordan did not do anything illegal.
No.
He just didn't know, I guess. So, but speaking of people who didn't know, that leads us into another Ohio State
story.
Well,
what about the local attorney, Ratliff? Who was a wrestler, wrestled under him, or in that time period.
In that time period.
Now, I've seen him interviewed, but I can't remember what he was interviewed about. I'm sure it was about that.
It could have been. I don't know. I don't know what's
been on television quite a bit.
Well, I think that, I don't know. I didn't see it, so I want to misspeak. But that's what it is. And if anybody has an opinion, 740-383-9944. We also have a giveaway today, and I want to get this in because I waited late yesterday to get this in. This has to do with an interview we did yesterday. Yesterday we had President Harding's grandson on, Jim Blessing, because yesterday was the 95th commemoration of the death of Warren Harding. Now here's the question. Yesterday, Jim Blessing said that President Harding had money delivered to Nan Britton while he was president to help pay for his child. How did he have that money delivered, says Jim Blessing?
Oh.
How was that money relayed to Nan Britton? That's the question. 740-383-9944. And again, that's according to Jim Blessing, according to Nan Britton.
That's right. We didn't have UPS then, did we?
We didn't UPS the money over.
Or FedEx.
740-383-9944. You can win a prize today if you get that in the next 28 minutes. And maybe, but this could be an answer right here. And maybe an opinion as well.
Go ahead, caller.
Your name.
Go ahead, caller.
I'm not Laura. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Laura Speakman, Secret Service.
Yes, the Secret Service is how he had it relayed. Are you eligible to win today? Caller.
Hello?
Yes.
I can't hear.
Oh, are you eligible to win today?
Turn it off.
Yeah, to turn the radio off and put your ear on the phone.
Yes.
Yes, you're eligible. What's your name, ma'am?
Laura Speakman.
Laura Speakman. Laura, what prize would you like?
What prize have you got?
Well, we have got tickets to Tecumseh. We've got Zumbezi Bay. We've got Columbus Zoo. We've got the
Zumbezi Bay.
Bay. Yeah, Zumbezi Bay.
Okay,
we'll put you down for 2 tickets to Zumbezi Bay, and today's the 3rd, so you have 10 days to pick those up. Do you know where we're located?
10 days to pick it up, and yes, I know where you're located.
All right, we'll be open until 3 o'clock today. Thank you, Laura.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, see, that didn't take long at all, Charlie. Laura Speakman.
Good morning.
Marge. Are you okay, Marge?
Yes.
Okay.
She's been contemplating.
She was contemplating that whole Jim Jordan situation, right?
Right. I was trying to figure out why I couldn't get the door open.
We thank Laura Speakman for her listenership winning of two prizes today to Zumbezi Bay. Now, Jim Jordan's out of the way, and President Harding's out of the way, and the question's out of the way. And if anybody has an opinion on anything, 740-383-9944. And speaking of things people who didn't know anything, it's on the front page of the Marion Star today. Did Urban Meyer, Ohio State head coach...
I'm so sick of that whole
thing.
Well,
it's only been 2 days.
Yeah, 2 days, it's coming out my ears.
Well, it's the news, I guess. Well, for people who...
don't know...
No, we don't know. But here's the thing. This is the story for people who maybe don't know.
Well, yeah, those that haven't heard.
Okay, here's what happened.
There must be somebody out there that hasn't heard.
Must be. Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer was placed on paid administrative leave Wednesday as the school announced it is investigating Courtney Smith's claims that several people close to the coach knew of a 2015 allegation of domestic violence against her ex-husband, former Ohio State assistant football coach Zach Smith, who was fired in July. Offensive coordinator Ryan Day will be the team's acting head coach during the investigation. I believe their practices start today. We are focused on supporting our players and ongoing to get the truth as soon as possible, the school said in a statement. The ex-wife of fired Ohio State assistant Zach Smith says several people close to the coach, Coach Meyer, including his wife, knew in 2015 of a domestic violence allegation against Smith. Courtney Smith told college football reporter Brent McMurphy of her allegations. All the coaches' wives knew, Smith told McMurray. They all did, every single one. I do believe he knew, and instead he chose to help the abuser and enable the abuser and believe whatever story Zach was telling everybody, Smith said. Okay, so Urban Meyer's on paid administrative leave. It's coming out of everybody's eyes and ears because... people take Ohio State football very seriously, and then we come down to another thing of, did he know?
O-H-I-O.
Well, you make him angry, Charlie. You're going to make him angry. Now, so you're going to get on the defensive like apparently Jim Jordan and I are. We're not going to exchange Christmas cards anymore.
Oh, my. But, boy, today you don't ask any of the players or anybody involved with their practices. They're sealed. Their lips are sealed. You cannot get near them.
I heard...
is that right?
I haven't tried. I don't know. I haven't tried. No, but the question remains, I heard, or maybe the statement, last night I overheard a conversation. People are talking about this in grocery store aisles. And the
everywhere.
A woman said, this was her quote, she said, he shouldn't be fired. He's not God. He's just a football coach. Well,
I don't know. If God was a football coach, he'd probably get fired.
I don't know if God makes as much money as Urban Meyer does.
Probably not.
Know.
He'd like to.
Well, it's a good position to be in.
How much did he make his contract?
Oh,
millions.
$7 million for his contract.
And paid this, paid that.
How much would he get if they fired him?
Well, if they fired him, I guess it would depend on what the settlement was. It's different with everybody, I think.
Yeah.
But, okay, here's the thing, Marge. This is what I thought about, and I'm putting Urban Meyer to the side. If a teacher knew that another teacher was abusing his wife and didn't report it to the school, didn't report it to the principal, that teacher would be gone.
I'd say mind your own business.
Yes.
Well, but can you, though? I mean, really, Marge, can... I mean, if
it's none of their business.
Yeah, but if a teacher... We're not talking about a coworker. We're talking about a teacher who's with kids. If a teacher who's with kids is abusing his wife physically... Yeah. You think that you should be hush on that and just never bring it up. Never bring... If you know...
No, that'd be, I don't know, that's not a matter, I know what it could reflect on, if a teacher is going through all this paraphernalia with her husband or a wife or whatever, would that affect the kids they're teaching?
Well, I don't know if it would affect.
That's what's thought.
Yeah, but there are very strict rules to be a teacher. You know, you can't have a criminal background. You can't do these things. They will not approve your license. So if it's not a big deal and the coach knew, why didn't he just say he knew? He wasn't doing anything inappropriate. Why would he not say anything?
It's interesting. I don't know if it was true or not, but on Facebook, where you don't know if anything's true, it told about the wife of the of this coach. She had been picked up numerous times for drunk driving.
Well, see
that's
here,
another.
Now here we go.
Yep.
Here we go. That sounds awful familiar. You know, the two people who accused me, one had a felony record and the other one had stolen money.
That's
here
right.
Here we go. This
that's
is what
right.
you do. You attack the person yeah. who was attacked. Yeah. I, you know, frankly, Representative Jordan, I don't care. If these people, I don't care if they murdered somebody. If they were abused, they were abused. Now, you don't, maybe you didn't know about it. And that's fine. If you didn't know about it, you didn't know about it. But why are you attacking them? Mm-hmm. What is the, just like this, just like Hillary and the colostomy bag. I mean, what is this?
Oh, she had a colostomy?
Well, that was what you said during the election. You brought that up that you had seen Facebook.
Well,
because her pant leg was bunched
yeah,
up.
Yeah, somebody said that on Facebook.
We always yeah. attack because you got to defend the
you
coach.
You got to find a way to attack.
You know what? If the coach, if Urban Meyer is legit, if he didn't know, then what need is there to attack the girl?
I don't know.
Do you think he knew?
I don't know.
It was
don't
his,
ask
it was his
me.
Coach. But they were friends with the two. Oh, I don't know. You know what?
The whole thing is just—it's just.
Okay, but the question is: if people weren't covering things up, we wouldn't have to talk about it. Because the firing of an assistant coach at Ohio State—that's not a big story. But if the head coach, who's making millions of dollars, covers it up, that is a big story. So, again, if you just come clean in the beginning, we don't have these problems.
Well, maybe you have to write a essay on that and send it to them.
Well, let me ask you this, Marge. You were the head over a department at Ohio State. If you had found out that one of your people working under you was abusing their wife, would you have kept them on? Or would you have not told anybody? Would you have never told the dean?
I really don't know what I would do.
But
I've never been in that position. You know, I don't know how to find that out.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would tell the dean because then it's on the dean's head what he decides to do. Get it off me. I mean, I think that's just the protocol. I mean, if you knew a teacher was doing wrong in any other way, you would report it. You can't handle it yourself if you're not the principal.
But is it the duty of someone to inform about a family problem of an associate?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's the duty, but apparently Ohio State thinks it's the right thing to do, or I don't. Well, I guess it's the cover-up. See, it's never the crime. It's the cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
It's why didn't you bring it up? Why didn't you say you knew? You know, that's the problem. It's never really the crime. It's the cover-up that always catches all the problem. You know what I'm saying, Marge?
Yes, I know what okay. you're saying.
You follow me, Charlie, here? It's always the cover-up.
I
it's
got
never
a gnat bothering me.
Oh, no.
I sent him over there.
You sent him over.
We're getting a phone call on us. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I want to know, do you think I should sue Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus? When I was 10 years old, I went to the circus, and I was really savagely groped by an elephant. Should I sue them?
Were you employed by them?
No.
Well, then I don't think, I think it's apples and oranges. I think the
apples and oranges. You know, we've turned into a self-righteous, moral society. And it's totally ridiculous. I would like to see Urban Meyer's contract. In his contract, does it say he is the confessor to all people? Is he supposed to take on the burden of domestic violence? I am not quite sure, but I would bet you he doesn't have a degree in social work.
No, but the question is, do you turn a blind eye? He's not supposed to counsel the guy. He's not supposed to stop him from doing it. He's not supposed to take responsibility for him doing it. And nobody's saying that. What they're saying is, this man was chosen by Urban Meyer to be on his team.
You certainly are, by the simple fact, should he say something? Well, you don't know any of the particulars. You're taking everything
No.
He would be given is completely out of context. And hearsay.
I'm not asking if he should say anything. Ohio State is asking that. They put him on administrative leave. I didn't.
Yeah, well, they are being, you have to understand, the Ohio State University. They are extremely conservative, and they don't want to take a chance of any more tarnishments of what's going on. And, you know, best thing for people to do is just not talk, period. About it.
Well, we don't see
an investigation, and I can't talk.
But we might also not know what went on here. Maybe somebody did ask Urban Meyer at some point, hey, is this guy being, because that's hard to conceal. Is this guy?
Maybe they did, and he completely forgot about it.
Oh.
Depends on the time that it may have arisen. Was it during playoffs? Was it during this, that, or whatever?
If they accept that excuse, I guess then it'll go on. Do you believe Jim Jordan knew?
Do I what?
Do you believe Jim Jordan knew? Do you take him at his word?
I have no idea because I don't have all of the facts. Preponderance of the evidence. Don't know all the facts.
No, I think all we know is how they answer. And that's it.
You know, it's like the old thing, the little boy who cried wolf. If this woman had been beaten by her husband, and this is what really... And Marge Hazlett probably can answer this. Maybe it's the battered wives syndrome, but, you know, you would think if a man rose, you know, took his hand and slapped a woman around, even the very first time, by God, that's unacceptable, and you call the police. That's all there is to it.
I don't know. Well, yeah, I think she did. Did she not?
Well,
many times.
Yeah, many times.
He'd been screaming and yelling until even going as far as getting an attorney and making the police do their job, you know?
Well, when you're...
But, you know, it's one of those things we will never know, and we could talk about this till the end of time.
Well, that's what you do when you're on radio. What? You talk about these things till the end of time because you got nothing else to talk about.
There are more important things to talk about, but, you know... But let me get out of here and let somebody else.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Go ahead.
Zach Smith's wife talked to Urban's wife.
That's what's said.
Now, did she tell him,
Urban,
her husband, what was going on?
Right. That'll be the question.
Yeah.
I think that's why he wasn't.
So the wives are involved as well as the men.
They certainly are.
Yep.
And I don't think he should be fired if he didn't know. But the question is, see, we also don't know. There's a reason they put him on administrative leave. Did Gene Smith ask him at some point about this, and Urban said, no, I didn't know anything? Because it's weird that she would come out and say this and say, well, he knew, and the university didn't even hiccup. They immediately put him on administrative leave. Tells me something. There's a little more there than what we're hearing, but who cares?
Yep.
Football season's not on the way. And no, we never know the end of these, but the truth of the matter is talking about them, you never know. We have a battered women's shelter here in Marion. My understanding is 90% of the women go back. It's because financially, kids, marriage, it's not so easy.
Well, in the same way, when the policeman's called to a domestic disturbance, he's running a risk on his own life. Because when he confronts them, many times They'll agree with one another.
Exactly, because there's fear.
And he becomes the enemy.
There's fear. There's a reason.
That has happened.
Well, without question. Yeah. Without question. Well, let them do what they want to do. Another investigation.
Life goes on.
Ohio State's had a lot of those recently, so we'll end that. But here's something interesting in life. Pope Francis has changed the whole Catholic Church's stance on the death penalty.
That's right. He's totally against it.
Yes, totally against it. And Catholic doctrine up until this point has said it's okay to kill somebody. But now Francis is in not only changing it for his own opinion, catechism will be changed. And the whole Catholic doctrine, catechism number 2267, says the previous policy is outdated and that there are other ways to protect the common good. So a Catholic religion now is against the death penalty.
Growing up in Catholic religion, I never heard it mentioned.
Well, apparently, what the statute in catechism used to say catechism said the church didn't exclude capital punishment if this is the only possible way of effectively defending human lives against the unjust aggressor. That's gone now. It's outdated.
I never read that in my catechism.
Well, it was catechism number 2267.
Yeah, oh, boy.
It's gone now. But you know what? This Pope Francis gets it done. Like him or hate him, he's changing the Catholic religion.
That's right.
So do you think this is right, Marge? Do you think...
I don't know. It seems to me we're changing everything.
Well, I think what they did was, to be honest, nobody's talking about this, but I think what they did was get in line with their position on abortion. Because I think... the Catholic Church is against abortion, but then they had to quantify, well, how is it okay to take a human life in capital punishment? Well, now all a life is a life. I think really that's what drove that bus in that particular case. But I've never understood capital punishment to begin with, to be honest with you, because exactly what the Catholic doctrine used to say, you can do it if it's an effective in defending human lives against an unjust aggressor. But if the unjust aggressor is in the prison, which you'd have to be executed, then how are they putting others at danger? It never made any sense to me.
Well.
Did it to you?
Back the old days of the West when they hung them from the nearest tree for cattle rustling.
But you know the problem is, in Ohio we have the death penalty. We've had the death penalty for quite some time. It doesn't stop people from murdering people.
Mm-mm. Nothing stops people from doing anything.
So what's the point?
Well, you've got to have some regulation somewhere.
Well, I think we'd be afraid to step out of our door. I was in prison. I don't think those people want to be there. I don't think it's a happy place to be.
Well, no.
So, you know. I don't know. I think that's just a note, because that type of story doesn't get a lot of news coverage, because we're talking about Urban Meyer and Jim Jordan and everything else. So, you know, if you're for the death penalty, but do Catholics have to agree with everything in catechism?
Well, that's up to them.
Because, I mean, you would have to change in midstream now. If you've been Catholic for your whole life.
I don't know if that's ever come up among Catholics, whether about capital punishment or not.
Well,
I think that would involve more of the hierarchy.
Well, it's part of catechism.
I never saw that in catechism.
Well, I quoted the number to you.
Oh, yes. You find that number in a catechism book.
It's not in there? You think the Pope made that up?
No.
2267 in the catechism. You only went up to 22.
You better go and check all your books.
You only went up to 2260.
My catechism wasn't that thick.
Well, now it's no longer. It's null and void. Number 2267.
And catechism's never dealt with things like that.
But the Catholic Church has. I mean, they take stances on abortion.
Yeah, the dogma of the church. But when you're teaching children the elements of your religion and life and everything, that never comes up. Oh, yes. 22, what's it now?
2267. Marge has got it.
Yeah.
she knows. 2267 in your catechism is null and void. No longer. Well, I guess one of the questions is, should religion change over time? That's really what this is about.
Right.
Do you have to evolve with the times?
It doesn't matter if religion changes or not. The law, whatever the law is, prevails.
But the law says abortion is legal, but I don't think the Catholic dogma would say it's okay. Divorce is legal, but the Catholic dogma does not say that's okay. Sex before marriage is legal, but the Catholic dogma does not say that's okay. So there are a lot of things.
Well, yeah, life is complicated, isn't it? My.
And gosh, this is like that Jim Jordan interview yesterday. I'm exhausted.
We face all this every day we wake up. All this is ahead of us.
Well, that's why we're here. That's why we only do this once a week. If we did it 2 hours, we'd be exhausted. There's too much going on.
I'm tired already.
Well, we've only got 6 minutes left, and we've given away a prize.
This has been a mental strain.
This is a mental strain. There was so much news this week.
The what?
There was so much news this week. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah. But what was concrete and what wasn't?
Well, apparently the standard answer is we're going to have to investigate and figure out
That word they'll eliminate from the English language. Everything is under investigation. If a car bumps another car, it's under investigation.
Well, here's the problem. Do we investigate now more because we just like to investigate, or do we investigate more now because there are more crooked people?
Beats me. We'll have to investigate.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of all these reports that are done, that are sitting in file cabinets, that nobody ever looks at again once they pay to have the reports
done. Right.
And all these investigations will go in the file cabinet, and whatever.
Years and years ago, I used to say that City Hall must have cabinets full of surveys.
I bet if you went over to St. Mary's, you could find Catechism number 2267 in a file cabinet.
I'd like to see someone call with that in their hand.
Why does that stick in your crawl?
Because I went through Catechism for 8 years and never saw that brought up.
But was it in the book?
Well, it might have been in it, but not the book I had.
Or maybe it was...
I doubt if there's a Catholic out there that could call us up and tell us that they've got a catechism that tells all about that.
Does anybody have the catechism book number 2267-740-383-9944? Here's we got two more stories in about 6 minutes. TSA announced this week. This is everybody who flies. TSA is eliminating security and screening at 150 small and medium-sized airports to save the company $115 million a year. Is this good, Charlie? Didn't just 17 years ago people fly planes into buildings because we didn't have good security?
Yes.
So is it good that they're taking it out and announcing that they're doing this?
I don't know.
I don't think that's a good idea.
I don't either.
Can you imagine? Now people, these terrorists, are just going to go to Marion, Ohio or Columbus, Ohio and get on the airplane because the screening won't be as tough.
Well, the sad thing is you can't get on a train anymore and go anywhere, except Amtrak, of course, but not locally.
You can take the Greyhound.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Does Greyhound have security?
Probably not. The fumes would probably get
Did anyone ever search you boarding a Greyhound bus?
I think the driver is the only one who needs security because the people on the Greyhound sometimes have been there a few days.
And how many people travel by Greyhound anymore? I've seen them. You remember we used to work across the street from the Greyhound bus terminal.
We did. I never saw anybody getting on the bus.
No, I didn't either. In fact, I hardly ever saw anyone getting off.
Can you imagine if that bus broke down somewhere between here and there? How nasty and awful that would be.
Well, all they'd have to do is call AAA.
How long is it? Fix a bus? On to our last story of the day. We found out today, unbelievable. I mean, like, you couldn't have written a Tom Clancy novel any better. A Russian spy was working at the U.S. Embassy in Moscow, and Secret Service did not catch it, that she'd been working there for quite some time.
Oh, she was just another Russian to them.
Another Russian, you're right. But how? Where was the security?
I don't know. I thought of that, too.
How in the world did all these Russians...
You say a Russian spy was working in...
The U.S. Embassy in Moscow.
Wow, isn't that something?
Well, it is, because they had access to a lot of information.
Yeah.
Because at the embassies, that's the security clearance and all sorts of things. And this was a Russian spy. I thought the days of spies... That was I Spy in the 50s.
You suppose we have any spies in the Russian embassies here?
American spies?
Yes.
Maybe. I don't know. Want to investigate?
Probably do.
We can investigate it.
It's a...
When, though, did we become... That exchange, which has come about in the last couple years, I don't understand, where we say, well, we do it, so it's okay if they do it.
That's right.
Well, you know what? Hitler took over countries. Should we just... Well, he's as good as us because we did it too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awful. I mean, there are reasonings behind these things. Hitler was trying to exterminate a whole race of people. Mussolini was trying to help him. Stalin took all the money from the Russians and had his political opponents jailed and killed. We don't do that here. We don't. Have we made mistakes? Well, certainly we have. But do we do it in the name of corruption? I don't think so.
You remember what they did to Mussolini?
His own people.
Hung him upside down.
Well, see, that's why you have to be good to your own people.
Now, if they hung him upside down, did he die from... What did he die from?
Well, they stabbed him and killed him and beat him.
Oh, okay. Other than hanging upside down.
Well, what about recent times? Do you not remember Gaddafi getting killed by the Libyans? They got him out of his palace, drug him into the street, and beat the... daylights out of him.
Oh, gosh, that makes me
and
sick.
And Gaddafi drove a car the same brand as mine.
Gaddafi drove around in a Fiat?
Oh, it was customized.
I'll tell you, that guy was always screwy. Every time Gaddafi spoke, I couldn't make out a word of what he was saying. He everybody, brother, leader, and he kind of had weird laughs, and Gaddafi was kind of nutty. Take the final call for today. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Mussolini died of an extreme migraine. Have a good weekend.
All right. I've had one of those extreme migraines.
Oh, really?
That's what killed Mussolini, the caller said.
Oh, I see.
Okay. You know, though, before we wrap it up, because we've got 1 minute, because yesterday was the 95th anniversary, do you think Harding was poisoned, or do you think he just died of old age, natural causes?
I can't say one way or the other. I there's no proof.
Either way.
Either way, yeah.
Either way. Marge, what do you think? You think Florence might have had a hand in Harding's death?
I don't really know.
We know it's
weird.
You know,
you hear
so
many stories.
I'll tell you what, if it was today, she'd be investigated.
Yes, she'd be high on the list.
She'd be investigated.
Well, can you imagine the investigation all together like we do today?
Well, this has been a fun hour. It flew right by.
It's been different.
Different. Charlie Evers is coming up in 10 minutes. Lots of giveaways before the weekend. It's going to be a warm one. There's Zumbezi Bay and all kinds of things. Talk to you next week. Stay tuned for more programming. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanics.